The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
It's great to be with you this morning, and Lisa and I and St. Brendan's in the city are thankful for all of you. And we're thankful for your partnership with us. We're thankful for your prayers for us. And we're just thankful to be here. I had this dream a couple of nights ago. And I dreamt that we were in Christ Church of Vienna. And it was just this great church of welcome. And it was this great church where people could feel at home and could feel themselves. I was kind of having a moment of panic before I went to bed, thinking, have I done enough work on my sermon this week? Because I'm going somewhere else. And you don't want to let yourself down or your congregation down. And you always want to be invited back. And I found it interesting that I dreamt that night, that this was a place of welcome. And a place where people could be themselves. And I think that's just so beautiful. And I actually feel welcomed here this morning. I actually felt welcomed before any of you walked into this room. And I feel this is a place I can be myself. And hopefully this is a church that you will continue to grow into in terms of being yourselves and being yourselves with one another. I chose to, Johnny asked me would I like to come and speak on one of the Psalms. And I actually chose, I think, to speak on Psalm 23. And in some ways, it could go really well or it could go really badly. Because most of you have heard sermons on Psalm 23. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that Psalm 23 always reminds me of is funerals. And it's kind of the funeral psalm, or it's the psalm that we use when we're in a hospital, or it's the psalm when we use when someone is just about to die. And that's all very good and brilliant and comforting, and it brings reassurance. But so often with scriptures that we come to know well, sometimes they kind of there's a sort of a cloud in our minds when we hear them, and we often kind of are brought back to the last time we heard it, or we've already created a narrative in our heads as to what it means to us. And part of my prayer this morning would be that we would know and feel Psalm 23 in a slightly new way. Or we would hear it again, and the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, would draw our attention to something new that we haven't thought about. So I'm going to read it to you. And this may be the most important part in the sermon this morning. So as I read this, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will speak to you from this psalm and will draw your attention to something you haven't seen or heard before. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, would you take your word, which is living and active, and would you speak to us just in these moments of quietness? I'm just going to leave just a couple of moments of quietness for us to meditate on what we've heard. And Lord, would you continue with us now as we continue to listen to your voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've lost all track of time. No. I have the time, but I've no idea when I started, and I've no idea when I need to stop. It's very, very Irish, but you'll give me a moment when I need to stop. When Johnny said right at the start of the service that, you know, we live in an urban environment and we're pretty unfamiliar with the ways of sheep, I'm going to be your sheep expert this morning. And not because I'm very familiar with the ways of sheep, but we grew up in a country where there are a lot of sheep. And my uncle, who's just had a hip operation, is a sheep farmer. So I've grown up, I've spent time with him and spent time out on the farm with him, watching him herd sheep. Now, contrary to popular belief, sheep are not stupid animals. Now, when you're in Ireland and you're driving along, it appears that they just walk across the road in front of you, which sort of does look stupid, but it isn't. And when you approach them, they tend to kind of bunch together and run away, which may appear to be stupid behavior, but isn't actually stupid behavior, because when you're feeling threatened, you should always be with other people and not be alone. Sheep are not stupid, which is quite refreshing, because the scripture says that the Lord is our shepherd, so that must make us sheep. So we're not stupid either. And in caring for sheep, it's possible for a bond to be formed between the shepherd and the sheep. I've watched my uncle walk into a field and start to speak, and the sheep actually know his voice and will come towards him. It's absolutely fascinating. These little furry animals, or woolly animals, they're not furry. I knew there was a mistake made there. These woolly animals actually congregate and will come towards him when they know his voice. Sheep always pick up signals and react accordingly. So when there's danger, they clump together and run. When they hear a car coming, they just scoot across the road because they're reacting to what's going on. And a few weeks ago, Lisa and I went to the Maryland World Country Sheep Fair, where there were, I don't know, like, it seemed like hundreds of thousands of people there. There were probably only about 20,000 people there. But it was this gathering of people who'd come to show their prized sheep. And I've never seen so many sheep together, or so many different kinds of sheep together in the one place. But one of the things they did They did the like sheepdog trialing where they had this pen and they sent the dogs down into the pen and the dogs rounded up the sheep. And it was just amazing to watch the sheep react to this dog coming towards them. And it was amazing how the dogs could just corral these wild animals and bring them in close and bring them to the place that they were supposed to go. So sheep are very adept at picking up signals and reacting to them. And there's a lesson for us in that, in our relationship with the Lord, that He is giving us signals all the time. Signals around where He wants us to go. Signals around who He wants us to be. Signals around how much He loves us. Signals around how He's calling us into community. Signals just to live the lives that we're called to live. And my question to myself this week, and my question to you this morning, and the constant question for us is, are we picking these signals up? And are we reacting accordingly? One thing that sheep in the ancient Near East instinctively knew was that they were in a very, very vulnerable position. That they needed the shepherd to lead them. The terrain of the ancient Near East is not like the terrain of Ireland, or the terrain that is evoked in your mind when you hear verse 2 of the psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There are not a lot, or weren't a lot of green pastures when David wrote this psalm. The sheep were in constant need of the shepherd's skill in being able to find food and water for them. They knew their vulnerability. They knew they needed to depend. And every time I read this psalm, I actually don't think about the last funeral I've been to or the last person I've attended to who's died. I think of my own need of God and my own utter dependence on Him. And for us as kind of 21st century Americans and all other nationalities who've gathered here today, it's hard for us to live into this dependence mindset because we pretty much have everything at our fingertips. And everything pretty much is there for us and we don't seem to have to worry about too much. And yet, deep down inside of all of us, we know our own frailties and vulnerabilities. And then we're around other folks who are frail and vulnerable. And that reminds us of our own frailties and vulnerabilities. And it reminds us of our need to lean in and depend on the Lord. The interesting thing about the ancient Eastern shepherd was that he always walked in front of the sheep. He never drove them from behind. He was always out front, watching, seeing what was going to happen, scoping the terrain. The sheep were always following him. And again, that's the picture of our relationship with the Lord. He's always going ahead of us. 10 years ago, he was going ahead of Lisa and I to come here. He's going ahead of each one of us in this place this morning. He's not driving any of us into anything. He's going ahead and he's whispering and calling your name gently. The shepherd knew each one of his sheep. He knew the ones that had a propensity to wander off. He knew the ones that had a propensity to lead the others to wander off. And he knew the ones who would just stay in the pack and follow regardless of what was going on. And there's, again, a beautiful picture for us this morning. God knows us. He knows every single one of us in this place. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the version of us that we're afraid to show anybody else. And he loves that version as well. There's not a part of us that doesn't frighten him. There's not a part of us that he doesn't care about. And the call to us is to allow ourselves to be known by him and allow ourselves to be known by each other. The fascinating thing about sheep is they're always together. They're not separate in the field, except when they're lying down and having a rest. But when they're up and moving, they always move together. And we need, this psalm reminds us that we need one another, that we're a community, that we're a body, that we're not just a bunch of individuals who gather. We're family, we're community, we're sheep together. The shepherd in the ancient Near East was always chasing after those sheep who went astray or kind of wandered off from the flock or who got a little bit lost. And I don't know if you grew up with this image, but there used to be this kind of picture in Northern Ireland floating around when I was growing up of Jesus carrying a sheep on his shoulders. I don't know if any of you grew up with that, but I did, and I used to think, oh, what a lovely picture, Jesus carrying me on his shoulders. But in the ancient Near East, when the old lamb or sheep wandered off, the shepherd used to break its leg. So he would have to carry it. And the idea behind it was that as he carried the sheep until the sheep was better, the sheep and the shepherd formed a deeper bond. And the sheep didn't wander off again. And I think about that in my own spiritual life. And slightly controversially, I think there have been times when God has kind of roughed me up a little bit. But he's always carried me at the same time. And those two concepts are a little difficult for us to marry because we associate discipline with disapproval. But God actually takes discipline and actually associates it with profound approval and profound belief in us. So every time I think about my granny giving me the picture of Jesus carrying the sheep, she actually had a better insight into what my life was going to be like than I thought at the time. David was a shepherd. He writes this psalm out of his own profound experience. The other thing about the shepherd is that the shepherd's life at times was a lonely one. The shepherd would go off with the sheep. He would be away from maybe civilization for months and months at a time. And I was thinking about just that sense of stillness and quietness that David enjoyed in his life. It was phenomenal preparation for him becoming a king. He had honed his life in the quiet place. He'd honed his life in solitude. He'd honed his life away from the voices and the confusion and the chaos and the sort of competing influences and people wanting to tell him to do certain things or not do certain things. And again for us, in the midst of our hurried, busy, crazy lives, which are run by iPhones, BlackBerries, Samsung Galaxies, the whole nine yards, there's something to be rediscovered in terms of quietness and solitude. And I think a lot of us are afraid of that. David was probably afraid of it himself, but it was actually forced upon him as he became a shepherd. You know, when we actually, you know, sit down and stop and think, sometimes we get frightened because we start to think about all the things that we're not thinking about, that we need to think about, and we've put all these brilliant mechanisms in place not to think about them, and then we take those mechanisms away and we're suddenly faced with a whole bunch of stuff. But David learned that God always met him. As David wrote this psalm, he reflected on the times that God had protected him in the wilderness, that God had led him in the wilderness, and that God had prepared him to be the king. And, like, I'm not amazing at solitude, so don't think you've got an expert standing in front of you. I'm not an expert. In fact, I'm not really an expert at anything. But I know the value of quietness and stillness. And David will write in other places in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Not be active and know that I am God. Not do ministry and know that I am God. Not do mission and know that I am God. Not come to church and know that I am God. Fill in your favorite thing. Be still and know that I am God. And the scriptures are littered with these moments of stillness that people experience. And they hear clearly the voice of God. Do you know, I had 3 points this morning. So if you're a note taker, I'm going to give them to you anyway. Because I wouldn't want you feeling shortchanged. And these could be the points that you would want to take home and study for the rest of the week, because I'm actually not going to speak about them. I want to return very briefly just to the first verse of the psalm, because that's as far as I could get myself this week. But this psalm speaks about the shepherd who provides, verses 1 to 2, the shepherd who protects, verses 3 to 4, and the shepherd who is our portion, verses 5 to 6. So that's your homework this week. I'm not going to explain those to you. When you get the psalm out, think about that and meditate on that. But the bit that I couldn't get beyond was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've woken up every single day this week and I can't get beyond verse 1. Well, I did, obviously, but that's the verse that's become kind of my kind of memory verse of the week, I guess, and will be my memory verse probably for a lot of weeks to come. That the Lord is my shepherd, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the creator of the universe, is my shepherd. Like, that is amazing to me. The gravity of that, that God is so interested in leading me and leading each one of us in this place. It's funny, when Johnny was talking about Lisa and I being pastors and all of that sort of stuff, I was actually thinking at the same time that actually it's God the Holy Spirit who's the pastor and the shepherd, not actually me or you or any of us. We just get to join in every now and again in the work that he's doing. But he is our shepherd. He is the person that we can look to and trust, because at the heart of this is trust, and at the heart of this is believing in his goodness. And at the heart of this is knowing that as he's our shepherd, the last part of the verse says, I shall not want. I shall not want. That he has taken care of everything. That everything is going to be okay. One of my favorite phrases, it's going to be all right. Even when it looks awful, I still say that. It's going to be all right. And sometimes it doesn't look all right. And sometimes all right isn't the all right that I want or think should happen. But the Lord is still my shepherd in those moments. The Lord is still my shepherd. He's still your shepherd. The Lord never, ever, ever leaves us. Thank God. Now, I wander off every now and again. You wander off every now and again. He never goes anywhere. He's always leading us. He is the shepherd. Jesus is profoundly influenced by this psalm. And that's what I love about the Psalms. That's the other thing I was thinking about this week. Like, this is Jesus' hymn book. Like, he went, this is like, you know, I'm sure there was like the equivalent to the Matt Redman tunes in Jesus' day, and there was modern Psalms and old Psalms and new ways of doing them. But this is what Jesus grew up on. This is his worship book. These are his scriptures. And it's no surprise that one of the most kind of famous images in John's gospel is when Jesus says he's the good shepherd. It's when Jesus says, I know my own and my own know me. And when Jesus says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. It's all about God made this world and set it all in motion. And God took care of the screw-ups along the way by sending Jesus, all because of us. And again, easy to say, kind of okay to understand, but the reality of it all is just mind-blowing. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. That's what the shepherd does. Again, I am the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. God is constantly making ways for me and for you to grow into the people that we already are. And part of that growing is that we become these people who lay down our lives for others. And Jesus is the great example of this, you know. He enacts what he says in John chapter 10, I think, later on, when he takes the towel and the basin and he washes his disciples' feet. When he could have told them anything as he was going to the cross, it was his last night with them. When he could have opened and exegeted any scripture from the Old Testament to try and explain what was going on and what was about to happen, he chose to take a towel and a basin and show them something. And that's our call as well, that we get to wash one another's feet as the shepherd has washed our feet. That we get to serve one another in sacrificial and in beautiful ways as God continues to enable us and love us and call us. That we get to literally shepherd one another as we are shepherded by him. We have 70 shepherds in our congregation, not one or two or three or four. We're all called to shepherd. But we do that out of the experience of God being our shepherd. And we do that constantly because we're constantly being shepherded. He never leaves us or forsakes us. I think that'll do for this morning. Let's pray for a minute. Holy Spirit, we believe that you're in this place because you're in each person in this room. Would you take these truths and continue to minister to each one of us in this moment? For those of us who don't believe that the Lord is the shepherd, would you come and draw close to us in this moment? For those of us who are wandering, would you come and gently, or maybe not so gently, bring us back to yourself and carry us in your arms. For those of us who don't believe we have capacity to be shepherds and to give, and because we've been wounded in the past and abused, Lord, would you come and heal that process that we've been through and reassure us and show us that we have capacity because you are our shepherd and we are sharing in your ministry and not doing something by ourselves. And Lord, for those of us who are in want this morning, would you cause us to be able to share that with our brothers and sisters? And Lord, would there be enough so that that want could be met? Lord, continue to know us so that we could know one another and become fully known to one another. And Lord, for any who are unsure about their relationship with you this morning, draw close to them and be a shepherd and a guide. And Lord, for any who are in need of your healing, either in body, mind, or spirit, come by your Holy Spirit and be a shepherd in that moment. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thy heavenly friend.